Today's daf is Beya Daf Chaf Beis, and we are at the Mishnah, 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schutz Rafua Shalema, for Shlomo ben Sara Alisa, Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah ben Smecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaim Moshe ben Frumit, Kleinem es Kalman ben Rivka, Yaakov Aram ben Fega, and Tamar bas Chassida Fruma Rivka. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Hilchis Yontif. We're continuing to discuss different machloikis in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in Hilchis Yontif. Zok de Mishnah, Shloisha Dvarim, there were three things, Rabbi Gamliel, Machmer, Kedivir Beis Shammai, that the great Rabbi Gamliel was Machmer, like the opinion of Beis Shammai. Meaning, Rabbi Gamliel, of course, in most areas of life, followed Shitas Beis Hillel. But there was Shloisha Dvarim, there were three areas in Hilchis Yontif where Rabbi Gamliel had taken upon himself the Chumrah of Shitas Beis Shammai. Number one, Ein Toimnin Esak Chaman Lekatchil B'Yantif. Rabbi Gamliel would not take hot water or hot food, wrap it on Yantif, so that it would remain hot, and then eat it on Shabbos. If a menorah, candelabra, fell on Yantif, he wouldn't pick it back up. And he wouldn't bake thick breads. Elarikikin, only flat breads. Om Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, send me man shal desaba. From as long as I can remember, my father's house, they would never bake on Yantif thick breads. Only rikikin, only flat breads. Om Rulai. So the Chachamim told Rabbi Gamliel, I trust that that's what you did in your father's house. However, what could we say? This was apparently a chumrah that they had taken upon themselves. However, we know that they were makel when it came to people that asked them questions, and that is, can we bake something thick on Yontif or not? They would tell them, you can bake chararin as well. Zok de Gemara. So there were three things that Rabbi Gamliel was machmer kedivrei Beis Shammai, clearly implying that these were three chumras of Beis Shammai. The Gemara is going to go through all three of them individually. So the first one was, Ein toimnin esachama lekatchila b'yantif. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you're not allowed to take something hot on Yantif, wrap it, do hatmana so that it would remain hot on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Heichidah. What exactly are we discussing? Idanach erev tafshilin. If we're talking about where this person that wants to do hatmana with this hot food on Yantif made an erev tafshilin, my time in the Beis Shammai. Why would Beis Shammai say, you're not allowed to do it? You're allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos if you make an Erev Tavshilin. You're allowed to bake from Yontif to Shabbos if you make an Erev Tavshilin. So why would you think you can't do Hatmana from Yontif to Shabbos if you made an Erev Tavshilin? And if it's talking about you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, my time of the Beis Hillel, why would Beis Hillel argue? Meaning from the Mishnah, it sounds like this was a Chumrah of Beis Shammai, but Beis Hillel held that it's okay. How could Beis Hillel allow you to do Hatmana from Yontif to Shabbos if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin? So Marashach, if there's an Erev Tavshilin, why would Beis Shammai be Machmer? And if there's no Erev Tavshilin, why would Beis Hillel be Makel? So the Gemara now is going to bring three pshatim in the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Number one, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, "Loi melacha shalei niach Erev Tavshilin." The case of the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was talking about where there was no Erev Tavshilin. If that's the case, my time of the Beis Hillel, why would Beis Hillel allow you to do atmana from Yontif to Shabbos? Why was this only a chumrah of Beis Shammai? Everybody should have a problem with it. Ukidei chayav shoru le'rabbonim. The Rabbanon Beis Hillel held that even when a person doesn't make an Erev Tavshilin, so that you're not allowed to now prepare food from Yontif to Shabbos, however, Kitei Chayav, there is a bare minimum of food that a person is allowed to prepare. And that's what Beis Hillel was referring to when Beis Hillel said you could do Hatmana from Yontif to Shabbos. Meaning Beis Shammai was Machmer because Beis Shammai held that if you don't make an Erev Tavshilin, you can't prepare anything from Yontif to Shabbos. Beis Hillel's Mekel, and they hold that Kedei Chayav you would be able to. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna L'tamei, this Chiddush that Rav Huna just said to explain Beis Hillel, that a person's allowed to prepare food from Yontif to Shabbos even without an Erev Tavshilin, as long as it was Kedei Chayav. This Chiddush of Rav Huna is something that Rav Huna said in another context. In other words, this is Rav Huna L'shitas. If somebody didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, he's allowed to bake one bread. He's allowed to do atmana with one kedera. And he's allowed to prepare one candle. They say, even allowed to roast a small fish. Someone that didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, he's allowed to bake one bread. He's allowed to do atmana with one pot. He's allowed to light one ner. And he's allowed to heat up one ketone, one jug of water. Some say, he's even allowed to roast one fish. But the point is, because this is all Rav Huna talking, and Rav Huna said that even without an Erev Tavshilin, a person is allowed to prepare beer minimum from Yontif l'Shabbos. That's Beis Hillel's shita when it comes to Hatmana Meyantif l'Chol. That's what Beis Shammai was machmer. In other words, machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah was whether or not a person is allowed to prepare, be it through Hatmana, through Bishul, through Afia, Kidei Chayav, a beer minimum that he needs to get through the day, even without making Erev Tavshilin. Beis Shammai says, no, you don't make an Erev Tavshilin, you can't prepare anything. Therefore, Beis Shammai said, Ein toim de nesacham in the katchil b'yantiv, he meant without an Erev Tavshilin, even though you need that hot water as your beer minimum. Whereas Beis Hillel was mekel, because Beis Hillel held, like this chiddush of Rav Huna, that the beer minimum is something you're allowed to do. Rava said a different Shammah. Really, our Mishnah, the case that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel debated, was the, talking about whether the person made an Erev Tavshilin. Shani atmano, the muchacha milsa, that daita, the Shabbat to Govin. And still Beis Shammai holds that it's not okay, because Beis Shammai says that even though an Erev Tavshilin works to be able to cook from Yontif l'Shabbos, and even though an Erev Tavshilin works for you to be able to bake from Yontif l'Shabbos, but to do Atmana from Yontif l'Shabbos, that's not something you're allowed to do. Now what's the difference? If I can cook, if I can bake, why shouldn't I be able to do Atmana? So Rav explained, Shani Atmana, Atmana is different than Muchacha Milsa, because it's obvious, it's evident, that Adaita de Shabbat to Govin. What you're doing for Shabbos. Meaning when a person cooks from Yontif to Shabbos, the optics are, maybe he's just cooking for Yontif. If a person bakes from Yontif l'Shabbos, it looks like maybe he's just baking from Yontif l'Shabbos. If a person does Hatmana from Yontif l'Shabbos, it's clear that you're wrapping the food, you're putting it away for use on Shabbos. And being that it's nicker that you're doing it for Shabbos, Beis Shammai says a chiddush that even Erev Tavshilin is not going to work. Beis Hillel argues, and that's the point of contention between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara says, Abaye asked the Kasha, Chananya, Oim Chananya said, Beis Shammai says, Ein Oifen Olam Ken Ir Bepas. You're not allowed to bake using an Erev Tavshilin unless the food that you use for Erev Tavshilin was a baked food. Vein Mefashin, you're not allowed to cook using an Erev Tavshilin Olam Ken Ir Betavshin, unless the food that you use for Erev Tavshilin was a cooked food. Vein Toimden, you're not allowed to do Atmana through an Erev Tavshilin, Elmkin Hoyle Chamet Munim Erev Yantav, unless the Erev Tavshilin was something that was Hatmat. Now, this was a chiddush that we saw earlier in the parak, where Chananya said in the name of Beis Shammai that it's not enough to make an Erev Tavshilin, but the Erev Tavshilin has to coincide with the exact thing that you want to do. So if you want to bake from Yontif l'Shabbos, the Erev Tavshilin has to be a baked food. If you want to cook from Yontif l'Shabbos, it has to be a cooked food. If you want to do Hatmana from Yontif l'Shabbos, then it has to be a Hatmana digger food. But what do you see from here? You see that Erev Tavshilin works for Hatmana. Not like Rav Svari. You see that Hatmana works for Erev Tavshilin. It's true. You need to have food that was hitmin in order for it to work. But at the end of the day, it can work. So Abaye told Rava, Rava, what you're saying is not like Chananya said of Beis Shammai. Chananya was a Tana. Rava, you're an Amor. You don't have the credentials to argue with Chananya. So Rava wanted to say that the reason Beis Shammai holds in our Mishnah, it's talking about even when you made an Erev Tavshilin, because that Tmana doesn't work even with an Erev Tavshilin. You see from Chananya, not that way. Elamar Abaye said, you have to say the machloik is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel or something else. It's talking about where a person made an Erev Tavshilin. However, you never made an Erev Tavshilin for Hatmana. You made an Erev Tavshilin with a Tavshil. You made an Erev Tavshilin for Afiyo. What's the machloikis b'shamay b'shilu? V'chananya hi v'alibid b'shamay. V'shana b'shamay is, he's shitas chananya. Chananya said alibid b'shamay that Erev Tavshilin works, but it only works for the thing that you prepared. So if you prepared bread, you can bake with Erev Tavshilin. If you prepared a Tavshil, you can cook with Erev Tavshilin. If you want to be able to do Hatmana, you would need to be matmin food. The Mishnah is talking about when you weren't matmin food. B'shilu says, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, an Erev Tavshilin is an Erev Tavshilin. You can use pas for Tavshil, Tavshil for pas. You can use a Dovash Halatmana for Tavshil. You can interchange. Whereas Beis Shammai, according to Chananya holds, it has to be specific. That's why it's not going to work in the Mishnah. Bottom line is, this concludes the first discussion of the Mishnah. Ein toimden es hacham lekatchil b'yantiv, Beis Hillel argues. And the question was, manavshach, if you made an Erev Tavshilin, of course you should be able to. And if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, of course you shouldn't be able to. And what emerges is three pshatim in the Gemara. All big yesoidos in Hilchas Erev Tavshilin. Number one, maybe it's talking about where there was no Erev Tavshilin. That's what Beis Shammai holds. Ain't time then Beis Hillel says you could do it Kidei Chayev. Number two, maybe it's talking about where you made an Erev Tavshilin, but Beis Shammai holds Erev Tavshilin doesn't work for Hatmana because of the Svara of Muchacha Milsa. Number three, it's talking about where you made an Erev Tavshilin with a Tavshil or with Pas, but you didn't make it by wrapping hot food. And the Machloikis is Chananya's Chiddush in the name of Beis Shammai, which is, do you say that the Erev Tavshilin has to match the exact thing that you want to do, or do you not say it? The second thing in the Mishnah was, Ain Bishami was of the opinion that you're not allowed to pick up a candelabra that falls on Yantiv, and base. And Rabbi Gamliel had followed this chumra of Bishami. So the Gemara says, "My kof, what's the big deal? Why should you not be able to pick up a menorah on Yantiv?" I'm Rabbi Chinen of Bar Bisna. So Rabbi Chinen of Bar Bisna said, "Hachav menorah shall cholius askin." We're talking about where the menorah was made up of pieces, so that when the menorah fell, the pieces came apart. So if you're going to now pick it up, you're not just lifting it; you're actually putting the pieces together, and the mechsi kabayna, and it looks a little bit like bayna. Okay, so if it's bayna, what's the machlokes? Only Bishamay was Machmer. Why would Beisil be Mekel? So the Gemara says the Machloek is Bishamay Beisil was. The Bishamay is Haki Bishamay holds Yesh Ben Yibakelim Yesh Tir Bekelim. That there's Boino when it comes to Kalim. There's Seisir when it comes to Kalim. Even though this menorah is Kalim, but still there's a Boino and there's a Seisir problem. Beisil is Haki Beisil holds. Ain't Ben Yibakelim Ben Tir Bekelim. There's no Boino Bekelim. There's no Tir Bekelim. And as a result, this is not something that's going to be an issue. So on this note, Ula Iklo, the Bey Rabbi Yehuda. Ula was once in Rabbi Yehuda's house. Come Shamoi, Rabbi Ula's gabe got up, zakaflo the shraga, and he lifted the lamp on the menorah. Now Rashi says the reason he did it is because he wanted to distance a little bit the oil from the wick. Rashi, shahiyoroitza she yistalik Hashem v'achayrav v'lo yimoshech achar apsila v'tichave. Because what happened was the fire was extinguishing and it was going a little too fast. He figured if he moves the wick a little bit away from the oil, like this, it's going to slow down the kibbutz process. And that's what he did. The Gemara says, Eiseve, Rabbi Huda Ulus. Rabbi Huda saw this happen. This happened in Rabbi Huda's house. Who did it? The Gabbai of Ulo. So he told him, you're not allowed to do this. You just did kibbutz. You're getting involved now in potentially causing a candle to extinguish. And we know, if someone adds oil to a fire, that's considered making a fire. If somebody removes oil, that's considered machaba. So you're not allowed to manipulate a wick and oil on yantif. That's not okay. I'm lazy. He told him back, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't realize that. Meaning, not I didn't realize the halacha, but I didn't realize what he was doing. He wasn't doing it following my advice. It wasn't something that I approve of. So it's true. My gabe did something he wasn't supposed to do. 100%. Amar Rav. Rav said, "Kanva shari." You're allowed to cut off the top of a wick on yantif if it already singed. So to remove that is something you're allowed to do. So the Gemara now is going to talk a little bit about mechaba. So mechaba to extinguish is one of the lamatas malach. It's the antithesis of maver. Maver is when you create fire. Mechaba is when you extinguish fire. And we're going to talk about being mechaba in the context of yantif. Now maver is a malach that you're allowed to do on yantif. It's your classic quintessential malach zaychel nefesh. You're lighting a fire from the purpose of cooking. So l'tzorich zaychel nefesh, you're allowed to be maver on yantif, technically. The question is, what about extinguishing? So that's going to be the context now. So Abba, the son of Marta, asked Abaye the following question. If somebody needs to extinguish a candle for Tashmish Amita, so Tashmish Amita is something that's aser in the light. So what if somebody needs to extinguish a ner for the purpose of Tashmish Amita? Is it something he's allowed to do on Yom Tov? And Abba told him, why shouldn't he have to do it? Let him just go to another room. He said, okay, well, what if a person doesn't have another room? He said, you could always make a mechitza, put up a mechitza like this, it won't be light. He said, what if he doesn't have a mechitza? So he told him, just cover the candle with a keli, in a way where it's not going to create a fire, but at the same time, it's going to make it not give off any light. So he said, ain't like kli, I hear, but what if he doesn't have a kli? Meaning, at the end of the day, what if a person doesn't have an eitz? So what's the halacha? So he told him, you're not allowed to be mechaba aner for the purpose of tashmish hamita. Now, at first glance, you can argue that maybe you should be able to, because if you're allowed to be mechaba l'tzorich eichel nefesh, as we're going to see in a moment, you can. So you can argue that mitoich shehutra kivui l'tzorich eichel nefesh, hutra nami shaloi l'tzorich eichel nefesh. But the Gemara is not really going to discuss it from the context of mitoich. The Gemara is discussing it more from the context, is this in and of itself enough of a tzorich to allow a person to do it on yantif, even if it's not meleches eichel nefesh per se? And the reason is because maybe it's included in some secondary way in eichel nefesh. Not eichel nefesh as far as food goes, but tzorich nefesh. And that's why you would have thought that maybe it should be mutter. That was the havamina. That's why Abba Bar Marta asked Abaye the question. The bottom line is he told him, Asr, it's also eitz face. He asked the mekash, im chavanes bekas, kidei lachsel. If somebody has bekas, somebody has wood and it's burning and he doesn't want to lose the wood on yantif, if you can't be mechabef, im bishvul shal yisash and vayis, if however he's doing it because he's afraid the house is going to smoke oyak there, or he's afraid that it's going to spoil food, so mutter, then the halach is, it's mutter. So what's the kasha? So again, we're not talking about mitoch. The question is that if doing it extinguishing the fire so that there should be no smoke in the house, or that the keteira shouldn't go back, is considered enough of a tzairach that we look at this as now being litzairach nefesh, and it's mutar on yontif. So why should tashrish amita be any different? Amalei told him, Ahir Rav Yehuda, that braisa that says that you're allowed to do kibui for those purposes is going according to Rav Yehuda. Ki kamina, no, the Rabbanan, I was saying it according to Rabbanan. So who's Rabbi Yehuda? So Rashi says, this Rabbi Yehuda we're going to learn about later in the parak, who holds that not only is Melechas Eichel Nefesh Mutar Yontif, but Machshirei Eichel Nefesh Mutar Yontif as well. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda has a much lower threshold as to what is considered Eichel Nefesh. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, something that's only Machshirei Eichel Nefesh is also considered Eichel Nefesh. Again, a much lesser threshold. And therefore, you would have thought that it should, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's what we're saying, it's going to be okay. Abaye asked Rabbi a question, is somebody allowed to extinguish a fire on Yontif? So he said, hey, if there's a question of Sakonas Tafashal, of course you're allowed to feel the Shabbos Shari. You can do it even on Shabbos. Keep coming by. My question is, Bishum Ibud Maman, if the person is simply going to lose money, man, what's the halacha? Is that a tzairich or is that not a tzairich? Amali Asi told him it's also Eish Vase. He asked him, you're not allowed to extinguish the fire because you want to save something that's burning. But to protect the house, or the palm mutter, it's mutter. So if that's a tzairuch, why shouldn't this be a tzairuch? So he told him the same tzairuch. He, Rabbi Yehuda, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ki kamina, no, the rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who has a lower threshold of what allows you to do malach on yantiv, and a chinami, for that you would be allowed to do it. But according to rabbanan, that have a higher threshold, it wouldn't be okay. Boimine, Rav Ashi, mea meimer. Rav Ashi asked the meimer a question. Ma'u likhalas ayim biyantiv. Is a person allowed to put medication for his eye, inside his eye, on yantiv? Why would you think you're not allowed to? Because refuah b'Shabbos is aser, so refuah b'yantiv is aser. That was the question. So he told him, hey, if there's a sakana, kigoyin, rira, ditza, dama, demasa, v'kadachta, these are all different types of eye ailments that were considered sakana, v'tchilas uchla. Now Rashi says, meaning it's at the onset of these diagnoses, that's no question. That's something you're allowed to be doing on Shabbos. My question is, what if it's towards the end of the person was dealing with this for a while and now it's towards the end? My word. What would be the halacha? Is this something that you're allowed to do or is this something that you're not allowed to do? Meaning, if it's at the point where it's almost giving him refuah, so is he allowed to do it or not? So the Gemara says, Omalei Asi told him it's also. Eitz face, he asked him a question. You see that you're allowed to do kibui for these reasons. So you see, as long as there's a little bit of a tzairuch, it's enough. Shouldn't this be enough of a tzairuch for you to be allowed to do malach on yantiv? So Vashani Lekidishnin, he gave him the same answer that we just gave, which is, and a chanami, that price says that, but that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's true. We're discussing according to the Rabbanan. A Memer allowed people to go to a non-Jew and have the non-Jew put this ointment into Yidin's eyes on Shabbos. He did it himself. He didn't just allow other people to do it, but he did it for himself. So Rav Ashi told him, "My daitich, why do you assume this is okay?" Probably because you heard this halacha that tzorchei chayli you're allowed to do ayidei nachri b'Shabbos. So this is tzorchei chayli ayidei nachri. Rav Amnuna said, "Called avash imay sakana, something that doesn't involve sakana." Even though you're not, a yid's not allowed to do malacha, but oimel anachri v'yisi, you're allowed to tell a guy to do it. But he said, Hanibili, that's only true. That's only if you're not going to help him. But you're helping him, because when somebody puts an eye ointment into your eye, the ka'amitz of pasach, you end up blinking, you end up using your eye, and therefore, being that you're involved, you're complicit, therefore it's not going to be okay. Amale. So this was the question that Rav Ashi asked Amemar, so Amemar told him, Amalei Ikar Rav Zvid Koyka Vasech. Rav Zvid asked the same question as you, Vashanile, but I'll tell you what I answered, Rav Zvid, and that is Messayeh Embay Mamish. It's true that when you blink your eye, when this ointment is being put into your eye, you're helping out a little bit, but that's considered Messayeh, and Messayeh Embay Mamish. Therefore, it's not something I'm worried about in Allah. Another Allah. Amemar showed the Mikhail Enabiyam Toy Vishenish Rosh Hashanah. Amemar allowed one to take medication on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. How could you take medication on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? For Amar Rava said, mace, if you have a mace, beyantiv, Rishon on the first day, yantiv, yasku bayamim. That if you want to bury the mace, you have to have a non-Jew do it. Beyantiv, shemi, on the second day, yantiv, yasku bayisrael. Even a yid's allowed to do it. And even on the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, we're more mako when it comes to a mace. But masha inkim bebeitza. But for example, when it comes to 2 days Rosh Hashanah, we know this from the first parak, that a beish anold on the first day Rosh Hashanah, that loch is as asr on the second day Rosh Hashanah. In other words, what he told him was that the second day Rosh Hashanah is only cooler when it comes to a mace. You don't find that it's kulodig when it comes to anything else. Amalei told him back, anok and nahardoi svirali. I hold like nahardoi. The amri who hold after beitza, that even by a beitza, you have the same exact halacha that the second day Rosh Hashanah is more kulodig. Why? Because my daitech, dom amabri le'elo. Why would you think the second day Rosh Hashanah is treated like any second day yontif? Again, we went through this in great detail in the first parak. Because of Yom Arichta, amri Rav Chinen bar Kahana, Rav Chinen bar Kahana sent me my Ezra ve'elach from the tithes of Ezra le'matzino elam over. They never made a second day of Rosh. They elu of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. As a result, we know when Rosh Hashanah was, and therefore the whole second day Rosh Hashanah is only a derabbanan, and therefore you could be mekel for beish and all the beyantif. You could be mekel even for taking medication and a chinami. According to the ones that hold that the second day Rosh Hashanah is more chamer because of Yom Arichta, you wouldn't be allowed to take this medication on the second day Rosh Hashanah. But I hold like Nardoi, who hold based on the roiv that there were never 2 days Rosh Hashanah. As a result, the second day Rosh Hashanah is going to be just as kuladik as any second day yontif. And finally, the third chumra that the Mishnah mentioned that Rabbi Gamliel took on like Beis Shammai was ve'ein oifen pitin greets and el rakikin. They wouldn't bake any thick breads, only thin breads. Rashi says in the Mishnah that the reason Beis Shammai wouldn't bake any thick breads is mishum tercha, because it involves tercha. Yontif, you're allowed to cook, but at the same time, you want to minimize the tercha. So, Beis Shammai says, ein oifen pasach v'pesach. You're not allowed to bake thick breads on Pesach. Ubisil matir meisul says it's mut. Now, this is talking about Pesach, and Kasolka Daitach Rashi says, haven't been in the Gemara, that the reason Beis Shammai holds that you're not allowed to cook or bake thick breads on Pesach is because we're afraid that it's going to become chametz, and you won't be able to control it. Beis Hillel is mekel. Good. It says it's going to become a pasab. Beis Hillel, that's mekel. They allow you to cook a thick bread. They're not worried that it's going to become chametz. How thick do they allow? Up to a tefach. She came out seeing the lechem aponim tefach. The lechem aponim had to be matzah, couldn't be chametz. And you see it was a tefach. You see, up to a tefach, you go watch it. Beyond the tefach, that's when it becomes a question. Maskat the Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef asked the kashya. You're bringing a raya from lechem aponim. Lechem aponim is somehow the paradigm. If that could be a tefach, you could always use a tefach. Lechem aponim is very different for a few reasons. Number one, Amru is reason. Yamir B'sheinim is reason. Who is preparing the lechem aponim? Kayhanim, Rashi says, the Beis Garmu, this very special family. But there was reason, they were professionals. Professional, up to a tefach, can watch it. The average person, not necessarily. Not just that, the dough that was used for the lechem aponim was pasamelo. It was kneaded very, very well. How do you know that the same dimensions would hold true for bread that hasn't been kneaded so well? And omru be'etzim yevashin, the wood was very dry that was used for the lechem aponim. Yemru be'etzim lachem, how do you know it would be true for moist bread? Im omru be'tanuchem, the oven was very hot. Yemru be'tanuchem, how do you know it would hold true for a cold oven? Im omru be'tanuchem matches, a metal oven. Yemru be'tanuchem cheres, an earthenware oven. Bottom line is, so Rabbi Yosef said, I don't see how you could learn any halachas from the lechem aponim. The Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yumi bar Abba, Rumi Rav Abba said, Shilas says Rabbi Biyichud. I asked Rabbi, Umane Rav, who was the Rabbi he was referring to? He was referring to the Amr Rav. My Pasav, what is Pasav? What does it even mean? So he told him, Pas Meruba. Means a lot of bread. Meaning, he told him, a whole different shot, that when Beis Shammai said, Ein Oifim Pasav, but Pasav, he didn't mean thick bread and has nothing to do with chametz and has nothing to do with the lechem aponim. He meant you're not allowed to bake a lot of bread. And you know why? Because of Tercha. Ikadami, some say, Amr Rav Yirmiyah bar Rabba, Amr Rav, Yirmiyah bar Rabba said in the name of Rav, She'ila says Rabbi B'Yichud, that Rav himself was the one that asked his Rabbi the question, who is Rav's Rabbi? Rabbeinu HaKadosh, my Pasav, and he told him Pas Meruba. It means a lot of bread. And again, nothing to do with Chametz, but to do with Tercha Nyantim. So he said, but my Karli Pasav, why did he call the bread Pasav? He should have called it Pas Meruba. So he said, Mishum Dinafisha Belisha, because when you need it, there's going to be a lot of dough. But ultimately, what he meant was a lot of bread, nothing to do with thick bread. Inami, or Basri, the high Tana, Pas Meruba, Pas Avakar. They could be, when this Tana lived, that's just what they used to refer to Pas Meruba as Pas Ava. But the bottom line is based on what the Gemara is saying now, is when Beis Shammai says, Ein Oifen Pas Ava, but Pesach, it has nothing to do with Chametz. It has to do with Tircha on Yantav. So the Gemara says, Mechti. Mishum de Katar, Tircha Loi Tzarechu. He tell me it has nothing to do with Chametz. He tell me Beis Shammai's Chumra has to do with Tircha on Yontif, Ma'ir Ye Pesach. So why do you only say about Pesach? So it should be true for all Yom Tov. It should be true for Sukkot also. It should be true for Shavuos also. The Gemara says, Enoch Nami, it is true. So why then did he mention Pesach? Because V'tana B'Yontif to Pesach, Koy, the Tana happened to have been talking about Pesach. Tanya Nami Yochi, we learned to the Bryce. B'Sham says, if in Pasam Ruben Yontif, you're not going to make a lot of Pas on Yontif. Not Pesach, Yontif. B'Sil Matirim, B'Sil says it's Mutter. So what emerges from this last Gemara is that we had a Bryce. So B'Sham says, you're not going to bake Pas Av on Pesach. B'Sil said Mutter. The maskana, it's not pas ava. What it is Pas meruba. Meaning it's not thick loaves, but it's many loaves, and it's lav davka Pesach, it's every yontif. And the reason is because Beis Shammai holds, you're not let it be matriach too much on yontif. And if you're going to make so much dough, you don't eat all this dough on yontif, so it's tirchish leilu tzarech, that's why it's not okay. Comes out, this machlokes Beis Shammai is the same as machlokes Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. The third of the three chumras of Rabbi Gamliel was lehayo eifen pitin gritzin el rikikin. And pitin gritzin are kikares avin, Rashi said, thick loaves of bread. And the reason it's a problem is mishum tircho. Beis Shammai was worried, Beis Shammai wasn't worried. So it's Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai, Shittos, it's not the same halacha, but it's the same idea. Beis Shammai is worried in our Mishnah about making thick loaves of bread because of tircho. Beis Shammai is not. Beis Shammai is worried in this brisa about making many loaves of bread. Beis Hillel is not.